Hello and welcome to Behind the Story. I'm your host, Jessica McVeigh from Higginson Strategy, the London-based communications consultancy aimed at organisations who seek to change the world for the better. Over the coming months, we'll be hosting lively discussions with our clients, media personalities, politicians and industry experts to respond to recent stories and delve deeper into the subjects that fascinate us. Today, I'm delighted to be joined by two of London's leading lights of design and innovation. Sitting across from me are Miles Hawley and Paul Folkes-Arellano from London strategic design consultancy, Precipice. Founded in 2010, Precipice is a firm responsible for leading the transformational, meaning-centered design technique. Precipice's chief design officer, Miles Hawley, has helped some of the world's biggest brands transform their thinking on design. Paul Folkes-Arellano became head of client programs at Precipice in 2016, bringing with him almost three decades' experience in the packaging design industry. Miles and Paul will be talking about the eco-module concept, which was recently featured in a number of media outlets. The eco-module concept provides a fresh twist on conventional kitchen appliances. It consists of modules that can be installed into existing kitchen units to transform any drawer or cupboard into a chilling space, which will keep food fresh for longer and ultimately reduce food waste. So, Paul, the scourge of food waste rarely makes headlines, but how big is the problem?
Globally, it's an absolutely massive problem. The figures are so huge, they're actually hard to visualise. Globally, there's about 1.3 billion tonnes of food wasted every year. I don't even know how much a tonne of food is. I imagine it's lots and lots of kilos. I can just imagine piles and piles of bread and chickens and courgettes and aubergines and soggy lettuce going off. But it's phenomenal. And just in the UK alone, what they call avoidable household waste is between 4.5 and 5.5 million tons just in the UK. Wow. So these are huge figures, and people have just ignored them. They've kind of ignored them because the problem is so huge. People haven't known where to begin. So I think it's a massive task. People are aware. Lots of governments, lots of global organisations are working on ideas, but really nobody is working on practical, innovative solutions, and certainly the design industry hasn't begun to tackle this problem yet.
So, Miles, picking up on Paul's point there about the design world failing to address this issue and failing to innovate, why do you think it is that they have kind of roundly failed to innovate to tackle the global food waste issue?
I think the main issue is that the design industry isn't being asked that question. So having worked for lots of consumer product companies, white goods manufacturers, that question is not front of mind. You know, how it might be manufactured, cost of goods, how it might be assembled, how it might be recycled, is you know, are things that we often get asked. But food waste isn't something that is top of mind. So purely that reason, which is why really we've started to do sort of this self-initiated program, because it's such a massive problem, as Paul said, that you know, coming up with the idea ourselves is the only way that to start to visualise and bring this perhaps to market.
Yeah. And how will the eco module slash food waste?
So the main feature is to encourage people to freeze more product. So current systems, which haven't really changed for 100 years, you know, big open spaces, okay, with a bit of subdivision within them, don't give you the flex. So eco module is a flexible modular system that enables you and encourages you to freeze stuff. It's a smart system, so it'll recognize when food is perhaps going off or coming near to its sell by date, and could automatically go into a freezer mode, so, or a chilling mode. So you could either direct it yourself, or the system will kind of override and start to chill or freeze or super freeze foods. So it should be able to recognise and distinguish between different types of foods also. Mm. So not only when they're going off, but what they are, because different foods require different chilling. So the fact that it's a modular system, you know, enables that. So the trends in the way that people buy fresh produce is changing. So pre-portion, sort of semi-prepared food is something which is beginning to appear on the market, and no doubt the big retailers are going to move in that direction. Ecosystem, you know, will work with that, recognizing all these sort of different ways that we shop. So not just individual fruit and veg, for example, or meat, fish and chicken, but pre-prepared foods, and treat them in a different way, so that no matter what you're buying and how you're shopping, and things do evolve, the ecosystem or the eco module system should be able to adapt and work with that, so that you don't need to think, oh, you know, that must go in drawer three, yeah. That one must go in, you know, shelf number four. It's a sort of self-learning, intelligent system. Wow. That takes that worry away.
And what was the main source of inspiration for the eco module?
I think the absolute inspiration, or the key understanding, is that if you freeze food, it will last for a very, very long time compared to chilled food, which may last 48 hours, 36 hours. Freezing food has been around for a long time. Even in times gone by, people used to put food in the snow or in the ice to keep it frozen. There are still now villages in Siberia who literally don't have fridges. They just keep their food outside for the whole of the winter. It's a fantastic way of keeping food edible in a really good state for a long time. We have tiny freezers in our fridges nowadays. When we come home from shopping, or when we get an online delivery, we are constantly trying to cram as much as possible into the freezer space, to the point often we've only bought a few frozen items and we can't even get those in, because we've got the frozen peas and some frozen chicken there and some other things that need to stay frozen. The ice tray, there's not even room for that in a typical freezer. So we end up having to sort of defrost and immediately eat some of what we've bought as frozen, which is actually meant for the week later. And that causes us food waste problems by having to eat the stuff that we've bought frozen. So what we need is as much frozen space as possible, not just so that we can buy more frozen goods. We have a kind of family rule of having only 5 or 6 frozen items in a weekly shop, because we can't fit any more in. Pizzas are huge. You can't get them in, but they often come frozen. And this eco-modular system allows you to freeze as much as you want. You can put it on the defrost. So imagine that you're going to eat something that evening. You can automatically set it to defrost. So when you come home, it's exactly the right temperature and ready to cook. So we are using intelligent systems in so many bits of our lives, yet we've got this huge global issue that people are saying is the biggest issue in the world. Mm. Food waste is actually, as we grow as a population from 7 billion to 9 billion, we're going to literally run out of food. But nobody is thinking about household shopping. No one's thinking about our kitchens. In the Western world, we waste a huge amount, not just in terms of kilos, but in financial terms. It's hundreds of pounds for every family. So, you know, it's bringing together common sense, i.e. freeze the food, but also intelligent systems which are being used by, you know, the house already. We've got all these smart homes, but the smart kitchen is pretty dumb.
Thanks. And do you think that in order to truly reduce food waste, we need to get rid of our fridges? Is the fridge time over?
I think we need to phase them out little by little. Mm. The fridge is like today's fax machine. I mean, it really is technology that has been surpassed. Yet we still have them hanging around. We have these great big fridges which basically turn bagged salads to mush. Mm. That's what they do. So what on earth use is that? what we need is something really clever. And there's literally millions of people working in artificial intelligence in all kinds of sectors. We just need a few of them to turn their minds to food waste. Mm. And it's something that could be cracked in 2 to 3 years. It's not that far away.
Okay. The eco module could change how we live in the 2020s and beyond. How important is taking a long-term view in realising untapped commercial and social value?
I'll kick off. it's interesting. A good question. By 2020, we could have prototypes of the eco module. So not very far away. In 2 years' time, you could be quite easily bringing together a multidisciplinary team of designers, expert in the Internet of Things, white goods manufacturers, startup mentality type people all together, and you could easily have a prototype by 2020. If you're thinking longer term, and longer term probably for most people in industry today is actually 2025, people aren't necessarily thinking too much beyond there. You could have these in people's houses. You could be working on generation 2, generation 3 of the eco module by 2025. By 2030, it could be a standard item in new build houses. It could be something that, as it's modular, imagine you're a low income household. You buy one module, you buy two modules, you buy them individually. Mm. A fridge is a high ticket item. So a lot of people are literally using old, inefficient fridges that are not connected to any intelligent networks within their house. A lot of people already have smart meters, really understanding how to bring down their electricity and gas use. If you put an intelligent system into any household and you have a modular system that's built up one by one at a lower cost, you can very quickly start to see savings, not just in food waste, but also in energy consumption, which allows people to invest in better freezing and chilling equipment, similar to some of the incentives the government had for solar electricity. Mm. When you do the maths, and again, it's a good question, over the longer term, over 5 to 10 years, even if you're investing in a new system, the savings, in fact, the amount of food we throw away, if this, if you get this to work and if the tech is right, you can actually get your money back in less than a year. Mm. That's a hard argument to win with consumers. They don't get that kind of thinking. But in reality, in a very short space of time, imagine just saving a few breasts of chicken, a loaf, some veg, a pizza. How quickly will you get your money back? Really, really quickly, because we all know how much we throw out.
I think we're agreed that the consumers would see the benefit of this system, no doubt. As Paul's explained, the trick is getting big manufacturers, big brands to buy and invest. This is a long, complicated piece of work to get to market. Product development, 3-5 years is typical for this sort of thing. The issue is, if you a lot of manufacturers out there are about the here and now. Mm. If you look to the car industry, they are kind of meisters of future gazing, always looking 10, 15, 20 years out, prototyping and basically bringing those ideas to market. White goods manufacturers, I would say, are the sort of polar opposite. I think I saw the smart fridge 25 years ago in German, at a German conference. I saw something on the news the other day, same thing, screen on a fridge, whoopee-doo. So you can see the difficulty that we kind of were up against. If you think incrementally, which is what the bulk of these manufacturers do, you get incremental change. Our job at Precipice is to push things, to a further horizon, but give a kind of stepping stone approach, which makes it more manageable for big brands to get these products to market. Taking a massive leap like that is a scary proposition for them.
You kind of touch upon some of the barriers there, but you also mentioned that there's so much political will to solve this issue. Do you think that you could get political support for the eco module concepts?
Yeah, and I think, you know, political support, media coverage, consumer feedback are things that will resonate and probably force these companies to think about it. Because mm-hmm. I think off of their own back, it's, well, as I said, with the smart fridge, it's unlikely they're going to take this massive step because it's a huge investment for them. But somebody's going to do it. And they'll do it kind of gradually. You're not going to see the concept we put in front of you in the market kind of anytime soon. Mm. It's a concept. It's a platform. But you can imagine modular units being generated, smart units beyond slapping a screen on, starting to proliferate, and then that will build and you start slow, basically. Once that's seen as is commercially viable, then more investment will come. But I think pressure groups, be it political or consumer, will no doubt force this to happen.
Yeah, thank you. And you talk about the sustainability and looking at your impact on the planet, and obviously food waste is a global issue. We've spoken a lot about how the eco module could fit into a kind of typical Western kitchen, but do you see this also being used in developing countries?
It'll be a trickle factor. You know, it's going to be led by the Western world, no doubt. But the point is, because it is modular, there's no reason why it can't fit into developing markets in terms of cost, for start off. Mm-hmm. I don't know what the average cost of a fridge or a freezer in the UK is, but it's hundreds of pounds, if not thousands. Mm-hmm. So the fact that it can be scaled, you'd imagine it might be more affordable. In those areas where the power is inconsistent or expensive, again, it kind of lends itself to that approach. So I think, it would start in the West and sort of disseminate globally.
Yeah.
Just to add to that, I think what's really interesting about power is the way that Tesla are able to create batteries which can store sustainable power, such as wind power, tidal power, solar power in particular. They've created a whole power source in Australia made of Tesla batteries. This indicates, and again, we've seen some amazing new Tesla batteries that are tiny. This indicates that you could actually build in a one-year battery pack into one of these units and take it into places which really need refrigeration. So, again, if you're talking about somebody like UNESCO or the UN moving into an area of refugees or during a war, something like the eco module could actually be portable, could have its battery pack, and again, that battery pack powered by, there's plenty of sun in many of the countries that I'm thinking of that would actually work that way rather than having to be put onto any grid system. And again, when we're thinking about future housing, we are talking about houses being off the grid. Therefore, anything that's like this, thinking about where its power comes from, it's much more portable, it's flexible. We're also talking about people taking houses with them in the future. So not just fridges and chiller units being portable, but actual whole housing systems moving with you when you go. There are diagrams from people all over the place. Architects are probably the furthest ahead in creating sustainable housing and modular housing. The people who design the fittings and kitchens probably haven't done any work yet. So there's a big task to do to sort of create food preparation and food storage systems that fit with the future of housing.
Thank you. And final question for both of you, which item is sitting in your fridge that will likely end up in the bin, which wouldn't do if you had an eco module?
I'd say probably half the things in my fridge and freezer are kind of at the brink of going off. There's stuff at the bottom of my freezer. I don't even know what it is. We all put stuff in Tupperwares, don't we? Forget to put a label on it, and 6 months later, you look at it, it's sort of some brown stuff. And you're not quite sure whether it's the vegetarian stuff for my kids or was it the spaghetti bolognese I had the other day. You know, eco module system will help us not only use that stuff, but also recognise what it might be. So I think that, yeah, so that's a great example of how we could all benefit.
From my point of view, I think anything which goes to the back of the fridge is unlikely to get eaten, because the, you know, the shelf life of anything fresh is at the most a couple of weeks, but often just a few days. It arrives, and some of the things, they're almost out of date as soon as you get them. So anything that's not at the front of the fridge will certainly not be eaten by my children. They will never put their hand at the back of the fridge. My wife and I might do it, but it really, it's scary. The thing that I tend to throw out most is aubergines, that my daughter always asks for aubergines, and then she has takeaway. They never get cooked. There's got to be a way of keeping those aubergines alive. So that would be, yeah, something that definitely gets thrown in our household all the time, and expensive as well.
Yeah. For me, it's cheese, which is surprising, because I swear that never gets old, but mine always goes mouldy, which is gross. Yeah. Well, thank you so much for coming in. That was really, really, really interesting. Really great discussion. Thank you very much to Mars and Paul.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Thanks for listening to the Behind the Story podcast. If you want to speak to us about the show, you can reach us on Twitter @HigginsonTweets. I hope you can join us next time.